We are grateful for the presence of each one this morning. 2 or 3 weeks ago, I brought a lesson from the section that was just read in emphasizing the number one. Several months ago, a lesson was presented from that passage dealing with the subject of unity for which Jesus prayed, particularly where that unity is and how much he desired it. I want to follow those lessons today with one this morning and one tonight, continuing to emphasize the oneness and the unity that is taught in that passage. This morning, most of our lesson is going to come from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, as we talk about the oneness within the body of Jesus Christ. In both of the previous lessons taken from John 17, we talked about the one body of Christ, how that the oneness for which he prayed here suggests that denominationalism is not pleasing in his sight. And we tried to emphasize the oneness of the New Testament church. But you know, sometimes we do a better job emphasizing the oneness of the church as opposed to denominationalism than we do the oneness that ought to exist within the church of our Lord. Not only is it important that we talk about the one bride and that Jesus has only one bride, we need to understand how each one of us fits into that and how we are to help carry out that prayer where he prayed that they all may be one. In tonight's lesson, we want to do a little spin-off from this and talk about the oneness in the home. They are no more twain. And we need to emphasize oneness in our families as much as we need to emphasize oneness in the family of God. In 1 Corinthians 12, we have emphasized verses 12 and 13 many times because in these verses we have at least 3 or 4 times that one is mentioned in connection with the body of Christ. There have been times, perhaps in the last lesson that we studied on this general subject, when I held up 10 fingers like this and suggested there are 10 times in the New Testament where we have the phrase one body. And 4 of those are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 of them are in verse 12, 1 in verse 13, and 1 in verse 20. But I want us to think more about within the body this morning as we emphasize unity. Look down to verse 25 for just a moment. There is a statement in the first part of that verse that is almost the foundation upon which everything we're talking about today is based. He says that there should be no schism in the body. There should be no division. There should be no discord. There should be no disharmony. You may remember that in the first chapter of this book, Paul reminded them that some of them were claiming to be followers of Cephas and some of Apollos and some of Christ, and he admonished them there in verse 10 particularly that they all be of the same mind, walk in the same way. And so he's talking to a group of people where there had been division, where there had been a tendency to follow after some man instead of following after Jesus Christ. And he is trying to get them to see the importance of the unity within the body of Jesus Christ. Also in this setting here, he has just talked about the spiritual gifts, mentioning them by name in verses 8, 9, and 10, talking about the diversity and differences that are involved in them back in verses 4, 5, and 6, and yet emphasizing the one Spirit and the one Lord and the one God. And now he gets right down to where they're living, right within what you and I might think of as the local church, the local congregation of the church of our Lord. And he says there is to be no schism in the body. I believe we can understand that better by looking at some verses before and the rest of that verse and a verse or two after. Let's begin with verse 14 and look through verse 20. Body is not one member, but many. The foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. Now I want you to look again at verse 14 and verse 20. The body is not one member, but many. There are many members, but one body. Each one of us needs to understand today that as a Christian and as a part of the body of Jesus Christ, that each one is very important to God. I think sometimes in the local congregation we have a tendency to look at those who may have more talents than we, who maybe can be more involved publicly than we might be. And sometimes we become a little bit discouraged, and maybe we don't look at ourselves as we should, and we think, I'm not important. Well, this part of the passage here is emphasizing that every member of the Lord's church is important, just like every member of your body is important. Those who have lost their eyes realize how important the eyes are. Those who have lost their hearing or have more difficulty hearing, maybe in the latter, more mature years, realize how important the hearing is. And there are other parts of the body that may be lost or may come to the point that they're not functional. We realize how important every part of the body is. We need to understand that in the church, that everyone is important. And there are three words here that I would emphasize this morning. You are important to God and to His work. Every member is important. And in saying that, we need to understand what he's saying here, that the body is not one member. You see, the church doesn't revolve around me, and it doesn't revolve around you. Sometimes we act like children. If one doesn't get his way, he takes his bat and ball and goes home, or he won't play in the game. But it is important for us to understand that there are many members in the body of Jesus Christ, and each one of them is important. In fact, each one is just as important as the other. When Paul was writing to the Galatian churches, he said in Galatians 3, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, there's neither Jew nor Greek. With God, it doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman. There may be some specific responsibilities given to each. It doesn't matter whether one is free or is in bonds. God wants us to be free, and he wants us to act in such a way that we can remain free, but even if we're in bonds, we can still be Christians. And it doesn't matter what background we have. I'm thankful that in the congregation here, and I suppose every service, there are those of different races, even sometimes different nationalities, those who've been born and reared in other countries, and yet we come together in the oneness of the body of Jesus Christ and realize that each one is important. I think sometimes we do not appreciate that in our work as we should. I'm a member of the Lions Club here in Chester County. For many years, we've had black members and members who were ladies. I found out recently that there are some clubs in West Tennessee, one in particular, that did not want black members in the club. In this particular city, they had to form another Lions Club because of that. And I've been thankful for the attitude that the people in Chester County have along that line. And I'm thankful for the attitude that I believe exists in our work, recognizing that each member is important and that there's to be no division within the body. Then as we go to the next few verses here, he emphasizes this importance in that each one is needed. You ever get the feeling you're not needed? Sometimes in the family that takes place and problems exist when it happens. And there have been occasions when I've had someone say to me, well, I'm not needed in the work of the church. Somebody else can do everything. You really don't need me. Listen as we continue. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked. Folks, sometimes some of the things that go on behind the scenes, as we describe it, are very important for the success of the work of the Lord. There are people in this congregation who do things each week that most of us don't know about, but they are important. I was just thinking in the last day or so, I don't remember whether or not I ever saw Lee Grantham lead singing or teach a class or preach a sermon, maybe lead a prayer in the assembly. But I'm not for sure that there's anybody that's missed any more than he because of the part that he played as a member of the congregation, a member of the body of Jesus Christ, one who was so helpful. And I could point out people that are sitting here this morning who do what seems to be a little thing or little things, and yet the work of the church is dependent upon those, perhaps as much as it is upon those of us who preach and lead singing and do things of that nature. Every member of the body is needed. You are important and you are needed in the Lord's cause. Now, picking up there in verse 25, where we read the statement, there is no schism in the body, notice he says that the members should have the same care one for another. Now, there's the kind of oneness that is needed in the Lord's church, where we care for one another. There are some places, evidently, from what I've been told and what I've observed in some congregations, where the members never see each other between Sunday morning services. They don't know what's happening. They don't know what's going on. I've even been some places where the elders didn't seem to care what was going on with the members and whether or not they had any contact with them or worked with them in any way whatsoever. That's not the way it ought to be. He says that the members ought to have care for one another, and that means everybody within the congregation. Do you and I have that kind of care? Do we have that kind of concern about each other? Oh, I know we are different. We go our different ways. We have our different goals. But we are to care for one another. We may not even agree on everything. We may not even understand each other every time. But we are to care for one another. I don't agree with everything that my four children do. I don't understand everything that they do. But let me tell you something, I care about them. And I'll care about them no matter what happens. And if one of them is involved in something that violates the principles of right, I may talk to them about it. I may tell them about it. I may emphasize to them that I believe that they're going in the wrong direction. But do you think that's going to take away any of the care and concern that I have for them? Shouldn't it be that way in the church? That we are caring people, compassionate people, sensitive people to the needs of each other? And even if we do not always agree, we must agree on what God has dictated, yes. But if we do not always agree on everything, and maybe we don't understand, there are some times I don't understand everything that my wife does. And I'm pretty sure there are times she doesn't understand everything I do. And one of the reasons I'm pretty sure is sometimes she tells me. But do you think that takes away from the care that I have for her or she has for me? Or we need to take a look at this in the brotherhood. I would not do anything to compromise the truth or support error. But folks, we need to have more care and more concern for one another in the church, in the brotherhood as a whole, and in the congregation specifically. And then go ahead to the next verse. Whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. When I read that verse, I think of a word that rhymes with care, and that's the word share. We share with each other. We've had an unusual number of deaths in the last few months. You know, it's been so important for us to share with each other. We've had a lot of people who've gone through some serious illnesses, some who are involved in serious illnesses right now. And I've heard the remark made, if we didn't have the church, I don't know what we would do. If we didn't have people in the church who are interested in us and who come to see about us and care about us and share with us, I don't know what we would do. When word gets out that there is a financial need, people tend to rally. When word gets out that there is some other kind of need, people rally because they care and because they share. A few weeks ago, when Kim Dean was taken to the hospital rather suddenly, I just watched and noticed particularly how many people showed an interest, even our young people, in sharing, even weeping with those that weep. And I've also noticed in times like the Lads to Leaders work that we share with each other when there is something about which we are to rejoice. And that's the way it ought to be. No member of the body of Christ ought to live as an island by himself, but is to recognize that he is a part of the oneness and the unity of the body of Jesus Christ. And that means that we recognize that each one is important, each one is needed, each one is to care, and each one is to share in everything that we do. I would not want to have a shower for someone in my family and have it said that that's the first shower that my wife had ever attended. I would not want to have a funeral in my family and people come to share with me and show their care when I realized that I did not go to share with them and care with them, care about them when they had problems. Folks, the body of Jesus Christ is one. And when we say that, we are condemning denominationalism, and rightly so. But that's not the oneness we're talking about this morning. We're talking about the oneness within the body and the oneness even within the local congregation, to where we care and we share with each other in every sense of the word. I believe that's the kind of oneness for which Jesus was praying. When he said, I'm praying for these apostles, but not for them only. I'm praying for those that will come after them who will believe on me because of their teaching. He said, I'm praying for anyone who will be a part of my body, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they may be one in us, that the world may know that thou hast sent me. When we show that kind of oneness and love and care and sharing within the church, people in the community will take notice, and we'll have a better opportunity to teach them the Word of God. Yes, I believe these passages teach the oneness that we are to be in Christ and in His one body, but also that we are to act like it after we get in that body. If you need to be baptized into Christ this morning as a penitent believer, or if you need to come asking for the prayers of the church, won't you come as together we stand and sing?